fourth Sunday of Advent, as our army historian helped us understand, but the different themes that we go through, but also the banners that we have, beholding the King. And it's the angel's candle and love, the Annunciation. Kelvin shared a lot of that with us, but behold, that's a word in the Bible that is used some thousand times in the Old Testament, a couple hundred times in the New Testament, that is translated differently in our different translations, sometimes don't even translate it. But the idea, it's a word that brings a lot of significance. And so in the Old Testament, it can express surprise or awe, unease, or praise. In other words, or just the idea in today's vernacular, pay attention to this, to highlight a promise or a threat. In the New Testament, it comes from a verb and a command, but to draw emphasis and attention, especially when it comes to the miraculous. Once again, we might say, what do you know? Of all things, behold. And so, some of the passages we read, I was going to highlight some of the beholds that show up in those verses or very shortly thereafter, because a situation, when we read Scripture, there's a context. And so the situation, but there needs to be a solution. And sometimes that can be announced by a behold. What do you know? And then I'll give a little bit of a so what when it comes to this. So when we read Psalm 80, that was a psalm of Asaph, the choir director for the Jewish people during the days of Solomon and David. But a cry for mercy and restoration from God's anger and the oppression of enemies, God's people with enemies, and God seemed to be distant. Well, in the next Psalm 83, a few chapters later, we hear these words. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Behold, enemies surrounding Israel. Anti-Semitism is alive and well in our country today. But God's people being persecuted by Old Testament enemies, yes, but even today, and calling on God, and some of the words in the psalm we read, the so what, when God's people call on His name, which goes more than just saying some words, but identifying with their Lord, with their Savior, with their King. When we identify with God, the Lord God of hosts, I love that phrase, especially in the original language, but the Lord God of hosts saves His people. Behold. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, the historical context, King Ahaz, one of the wicked kings of Judah, was being attacked by Israel, the northern tribes, and Syria. And he ends up looking to the Assyrian, Nineveh, think of Nineveh, the very wicked people, evil, cruel people, looks to them to ultimately save him. And he uses the silver and gold from God's temple basically to bribe King Tiglath-Pileser. Now that's a great name. I think I've shared the one of my professors, Hebrew professors, had some kids and they got a little kitty, a little kitten. And the kids, he was like saying, kids, we need to name this kitty Tiglath-Pileser. Now that's a name for a cat. And the kids wanted Fluffy. So Fluffy it was. Fluffy's probably nicer than Tiglath-Pileser. In fact, after this occurred, he went basically to pay homage to Tiglath-Pileser up in Damascus, and Ahaz saw a temple or an altar that he liked. He had people draw up plans. He built the same temple so he could offer pagan offerings. So, bad king, disobeying God. Well, so what is the solution? The behold, in Isaiah chapter 8:22, then they will look to the earth and see or behold trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven in to darkness. The consequences for disobeying God. What's the positive message in that? The next chapter in Isaiah chapter 9, some very familiar verses. What king are they to look for? In Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, "Nevertheless, the gloom, darkness, will not be upon her who is distressed. And what at first he lightly esteemed, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian," past conquests and oppressors, "for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire." That's the oppressors. And what is God going to do? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government," David's government, "will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That's the kind of king that the people are to look to, that is to be born. And back in chapter 7, right before our verses, these words from Isaiah, "If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." A play on words, but the word believe, amen. You believe, we believe and trust. Apart from that, there is no grounding, being amen, another root form of that word, in who God is. And then in Romans chapter 1, Paul introducing the letter, he's an apostle, one sent with the divine commission. And he's an apostle of the gospel. And in that introduction, I just love that, love pointing these things out just to annoy you people. No. But there's a triune, talks about God, the gospel of God, the Son, the Spirit, a triune introduction. And so in Acts chapter 9, if you know the story of Saul, the Pharisee, in his conversion in Acts chapter 9. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said," literally, "'Behold, I am,'" here I am, "'Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying.'" And then back in Romans chapter 9, the message of that wonderful book. "As it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.'" Behold, that rock of our salvation. And that was the message of the gospel. That's the theme of the righteousness of God and message of the gospel. Is the message of Romans. In fact, the beginning of a few verses later in Romans 1, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" Behold, the Apostle Paul writing about the gospel. And then in Matthew chapter 1, you know the story, Mary's pregnant from the Holy Spirit, Joseph, what a good man. His dilemma, wanting not to shame her, but the angel's announcement in fulfillment of prophecy that Joseph, this is beyond you and Mary. This is what God has prophesied through his prophets. And so the solution later on in John chapter 19, verse 5, where Jesus is standing before an earthly, not king, but governor, Pilate, and he's discussing kingship with him. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man. Behold the man." So what? Well, Christ's virgin birth. Folks, that is what was required, a sinless sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. But he is Emmanuel, Hebrew word for God with us. He is fully human, the man, behold the man, sinless, virgin birth, but he is also fully God. He is a sufficient sacrifice to take care of your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. And because, behold the man, his incarnation, the word became flesh. He is our kinsman in the flesh. And we've discussed this elsewhere, but the kinsman redeemer, think of Boaz in the book of Ruth, a type of Christ. But he is like us, came to save his people. He is the man. He is our kinsman redeemer who paid the ransom price to buy you and me, if you're a Christian, out of that bondage of sin. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, just another verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, pay attention to this. Listen up. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know that, King? Is that something that you have recognized in your life? One of the beautiful message of Christmas and in all the things that go on, and I love it. Bowl season, I mean football. It's a joyous time. But ultimately, it's about the advent, the birthday of a king. Behold, the king. So what for us then? And we're going to sing this in just a second. All hail King Jesus. And at the end of the Apostle John writing in Revelation, about that second advent, the second coming of King Jesus, not as a baby in Bethlehem, but riding a white horse, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you and I who are Christians, I'll be able to ride a horse as good as Nancy Keaton. And we, what's that? Your white horse's way, yeah. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Behold, your king, my king. Is he your king? See, this is one of those questions. He is king whether you know it or not. It's do you acknowledge and recognize that fact. Behold, and it's always for God's glory. I like Advent season. And so I hope to see if you're around or wherever you're traveling, travel safe. But Christmas Eve, we'll have family here. We'll light the Christ candle and just a joyful time of celebrating the birthday of a king.